All right, if you got your Bibles, let's open up to Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. And we'll continue on there where we left off last Sunday and hope that God's Word will be a blessing to you this morning and God would deal in our hearts. We're looking at in Hebrews 13 that in chapter 12 and really chapters 1 through 12 were doctrinal chapters, that is to say they were teaching about the person and the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we find in chapter 13, it turns from doctrinal to practical. It is the things in God's Word that ought to be applied to anyone who is a Christian. And so we find he begins dealing with Christian character and begins Christian character with charity, and we begin to look that there not only about how he deals with the Christian and their charity, but then we looked at secondly there the Christian's character, and he begins that in verse number 5. We'll read that down to verse number 8 for context. The Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what men or what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And then in verse 8, we find the Bible says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." Let's bow our heads one more time. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. And pray, Lord, that you'd help us this morning as we endeavor to teach and expound upon the Word of God. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to not say one word beyond anything that you'd have us to say. Father, we're reminded this morning, it is not by our might nor by our power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. And so, God, I pray that you'd take the Word of God, and Lord, might it find a safe lodging place in our heart. Might we this morning be as David was and say, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to realize and understand that in the days we're in, we need Christian character more than we need folks that are talking about the Word of God. We need folks that are living what thus saith the Word of God. And help us, God, to be gentle. And God, we pray, help us to lead as we follow you. And Father, we'll be careful to give you thanks for everything, be said or done. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. And so we looked at, in this passage of Scripture, we find in verse number 5, verse number 5, in the first part of the verse, he said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." And so we find dealing with the Christian character, the first thing the Lord Jesus deals with through the Apostle Paul is covetousness. I found, and we looked at through the Scripture, that he puts that in the same lines as maliciousness and murder and envy and strife and idolatry and all of these other things. And although it may be socially acceptable, it is still not in the will of God. And so we find that he dealt with covetousness. And then I like the next part, he find we dealt with contentment. He said, "And be content with such things as you have." And so, thank God, we ought to just be content with what God's given us. I find that folks that as they grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they become more content with the things of God instead of less content. They find that they become more content with the things that they have instead of less content. We find that folks that are not very content, that's a real good indication they're probably spiritually immature. They're babes in Christ. And friend, I want you to hear me. I don't say that with arrogance. We're all on different places in as far as this Christian growth. And we find in 1 Corinthians that church was a church that was on the milk of the Word of God and instead of the meat of the Word of God. Now, thank God Paul didn't leave them there, but he guided them along their way. And so if we find ourselves guilty of that place of covetousness, might we understand where we stand at with the Lord Jesus Christ, understand where our walk's at with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's one thing to be in that state. It's another thing to stay in that state. And so might God encourage us as he has in his Word time and time again, might we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This Christian thing is a growing kind of thing. You ought not be the same person that you used to be. Amen? There ought to be things that change in your life. You ought to be ever growing in love. You ought to be growing in sanctification. Things that you used to be able to do, you probably ought not still be able to do them. Amen? That's just true. There's things that God moves in our midst, and as He moves in our midst and we grow in knowledge, when God doesn't allow you to grow in knowledge without, my friend, requiring of you that you also grow in grace. And so those two things go hand in hand. And then we find at the end of verse number 5 that there is a covenant that has been made. And in that covenant He said, "For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Boy, I'm thankful for that, aren't you? How are you going to get away from a God who promised in His eternal word that He would never leave you nor forsake you? Now, that's just what God's word said. And so in other words, doesn't make much difference how I feel. I say that a lot, and I say that on purpose a lot. Doesn't make much difference how I feel. And there are times I feel as though God may not be with you. Everybody here has probably felt that way. You feel distant from God. But the Bible says, God said, those that are born again by His marvelous grace, He will never leave you nor forsake you. And so I got to decide in my heart, I'm either going to take what I feel or what God said. Now the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And so I can't even trust my own feelings. Amen. But I can trust what God's word said. The Bible, who in the eternal God purposed in His eternal word that it is impossible for God to lie. And so if God said that, and friend, God meant every word of it. Amen. God will never leave His people, nor will He forsake them. He'll not leave us in time of sorrow, not leave us in time of sickness, not leave us in time of suffering. Thank God He'll not leave us when it comes time to die. I'm glad I got a God that'll be with me on this side of the grave. I'm glad I got a God the Bible records, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, amen, He'll be with me there." And thank God the first person I'll see when I open my eyes up in glory to be absent in this body is to be present with the Lord. I'm glad I've got a God who has promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Then look in verse number 6. In verse number 6 we find that there is a companion. He says, "So that we may boldly say," based on not how we feel, but based on what His word says, based on the record. Now, I feel like, and I understand in Isaiah 55, He's talking to folks that are lost, and He says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" I understand the apostle, or Isaiah rather, is talking about folks who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I find there are Christians that simply do not believe just what God's word said. But the Bible says if that ever sinks in your heart that God's word's true and it's unshakable, friend, there's nothing you can do to change God's position and His stand on His word, that puts boldness down in your heart to be able to say, "The Lord is my helper." Hey, listen, let me just stop right here and say, thank God the Lord's my helper. Amen. I believe that we all ought to be able to recognize as we are on this side of the grave that God is our helper, helping us in all things. Now, I want you to know, of course, now I'll probably deal with this some maybe on some Wednesday night in prayer. Part of the reason that folks don't pray is because really they're not interested in what God wants to do in through prayer. I mean, they can pretty well go on through their life without praying. They ain't praying for anything really that they need God to come in and touch in a big way. But I'm telling you, unless God comes in and moves in our country and in our churches and in our midst and in our hearts, we're absolutely hopeless. So we must be able to say, "The Lord is our helper." Now, if the Lord's your helper, that means you are not your helper. That's why Solomon wrote in his book of wisdom in Proverbs that we are to lean not to our own understanding. We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding, all our ways acknowledge Him in Proverbs chapter 3, and He shall direct our path. So we got to discern
discern in our hearts who's going to be driving this ship. Either it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to be our helper, or I'm going to help themselves. There's an old saying, and everybody in this church probably heard it. My dad used to say it all the time. He'll say, boy, I'll help those that'll help themselves. Amen. He didn't care to help anybody, but he said, I'll only help them that are willing to help themselves. Well, thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is not that way. God helps those who cannot help themselves, and the very fact that you're here is evidence to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, time and time again, helps those people who cannot help themselves. I cannot help sometimes the thoughts of pain, cannot help the way that I feel, but thank God the Lord is still my helper, even in those situations. So let's look at a passage of Scripture, if you got your Bibles with us for just a moment there, and we'll begin reading in Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27. I want you to notice one of the things that stuck out to me as I was looking at who all said the Lord's my helper. And there's several folks that have said that, but particularly the psalmist David records that in his word. And so I think about whenever we think about a man who has messed up so greatly as David had, and yet the Bible recalls to us that he is a man after God's own heart. And I thought to myself, well, I wonder why that is. Could it be, friend, that because no matter what state he was in, no matter where he was at, he was willing to recognize that the Lord himself would have to be the one who would be his helper. Notice the Bible says, we'll read several places. You'll just have to turn with me there pretty quickly. But the Bible begins in Psalms chapter 27. Let me just show you one thing here. Bible begins in verse number 1. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In verse number 9 he says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Don't you guess David would have liked to have read the words that just fell on our ears this morning, that God had made a promise, a covenant, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we might boldly say the Lord is my helper. Psalmist David says here that he wants the Lord to help him, and he's begging God not to forget him nor forsake him. Turn with me to Psalms chapter number 38. Turn on over with me to Psalms chapter number 38. I want you to notice what the Bible records for us. Or I said Psalms chapter 38, I meant Psalms 33. Psalms chapter 33, I'm sorry. Psalms chapter 33, I want you to notice his attitude in Psalms chapter 33 in verse number 20. It says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, through the psalmist David, pins down in this place that instead of trying to make anything happen in his life, instead of trying to find direction, he said, I'm just going to wait on the Lord. And the Lord's my help. And when he shows up, friend, it's going to be all right. Amen. Everybody ought to say amen right there. There's some situations that I can't do anything about and that you can't do anything about. And you say, what do we do then, preacher? We just wait on the Lord and be reminded that the Lord is our helper. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. You'll find this is a theme that turns over and over. I like Psalms chapter 40 particularly in verse number 17. In Psalms chapter 40 in verse number 17, the Word of God says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. I've always liked the way that he begins that verse. Boy, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. I mean, friend, listen. I don't know, it doesn't make no difference how much you got. Doesn't make any difference. The truth of the matter is, you can't change any circumstance in your life. You cannot change the fact that you are going to die. You cannot change the fact we're going to have sicknesses. I mean, really, we don't have very many things that we can change. But thank God, as we've gathered in this morning, even though we may be poor, and certainly I don't know about you, but I'm real needy. Amen. I mean, I've heard about and I've read about and folks talk about. about that there are folks that are needy in relationships. Well, that's me in the relationship between me and God. God needs absolutely nothing. I need absolutely everything. God doesn't need me to do anything. I need God to do everything. I mean, this whole thing is based on the fact that God is our help. I thank God, friend, that not only am I poor and needy, but God knows I'm poor and needy. God, even though He knows how poor and needy I am, He gives the invitation because He knows how poor and needy I am. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The very reason that God issues out that welcome to Himself is because He knows that as we have gathered here this morning, we are poor and we are needy people, but thank God the Lord's still going to be our help. Turn with me to chapter 54. Chapter 54, the book of Psalms. In chapter number 54, we find the Bible says in verse number 3, we've seen where we've been poor and needy, the Lord helps. Whenever we're waiting, the Lord helps. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them, Selah." And the Bible said in verse number 4, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. For He shall reward evil unto my enemies and cut them off in thy truth." And so we find that not only David said, "Boy, whenever I'm down and out and I'm poor and needy, I sure am glad the Lord's my helper." But then we find here, he said, "Whenever I've got enemies all around me, strangers that are rising up against me." In other words, whenever there is trouble all around, I'm glad that even in that time, the Lord's my helper. You understand, it's easy to find helpers, friend, whenever the circumstances aren't too difficult. But whenever the circumstances are real difficult and your back's up against the wall, it's hard to find folks that are willing to get where you're at and to help you where you are. But thank God, 'tis not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what situation is, no matter who the enemy is, no matter what the trouble is, I'm glad I've got a helper in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, listen, if you don't think God will help you, I mean, I don't know where you're at this morning, but if you don't think God will help where you're at, just remind yourself that there was a time that you were dangling over hell under the wrath of Almighty God with sin abiding on you and a blackened soul that was going to take you there, and the only person that could help you already did help you on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And thank God when God helps, friend, He helps eternally. Amen. I thank God that Calvary's still helping people today. Bless God, it still helps me today. Amen. I mean, even though I'm born again, amen, got saved, bought with a price, amen, washed in the blood, saved eternally, I thank God that every time I cast my eyes on Calvary, I'm still reminded that there's help on that old rugged cross in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yep, man, God's still helping us today. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 63. Psalms chapter number 63. Bible says in this. Boy, I like this passage. He says in Psalm 63, beginning in verse number 5, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and I meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Now I want you to understand, David said, boy, if God's helped me this much in my life, and He has, He's helped me in times of trouble. He's helped me when I've been down and out. He's helped me whenever enemies surrounded me and I didn't know how I was going to get out. For all the times the Lord helped me. You know, when I think about those times and I call them to my mind is when I'm laying down at nighttime and I'm just in quiet meditation or reflecting back on what God's done. And my friend, I see every time in my life that I know about, and no doubt these times we don't know nothing about when God helped us, but there are some of those times I can look back at my life and see when God's helped me time and time and time again. I think, oh God, if it hadn't been for the Lord, where would I have been at right now? And the Bible says that the psalmist David, leaning back on his bed, he is probably thinking about whenever the lion come a roaring after his sheep, but God helped him in that situation. Probably thinking about when bears came and God helped him in that situation. He'd probably thinking about whenever Saul was throwing spears at his head, and yet somehow or another by the sovereign hand of God, and David did not get out of that situation because he was fast or because he was smart or because he had quick reflexes. He got out of that situation because the Lord was his helper. Whenever he was setting up on the throne and the Philistines were coming raging after him, his own son Absalom rose up against him, and David just put on his sackcloth, walked over the brook of Kidron. He said, "Are you not going to fight for the kingdom?" He said, "God's who put me on the throne, and if God wants me back on the throne, he'll bring me back again. The Lord is my helper." I'm telling you, thank God for it. When I look back over my life, I see what God's done, and I hope the Holy Ghost of God might remind you right now of how many times that the devil almost had you. How many times, friend, that your life was almost a shipwreck. And you say, "What happened, preacher?" The Lord was your helper. And friend, when the Lord Jesus Christ showed up, when you're sitting back on your bed and you're reflecting about how good God's been to you over your life, it ought to put something down in your heart to want to lift your voice up to the heaven and say, "Thank you, Lord. And man, my friends didn't help me. And dear God, the temple didn't help me, and my sons hadn't been able to help me, my wife hadn't been able to help me, and but you, God, every time I've needed you, you have shown up and you have helped me right on time." There's times my darling wife don't know the words and nor the load that I am going through, and there are times that, friend, and that no matter how familiar the acquaintances may be in my life, they cannot appreciate what load is coming on my soul. But thank God, I've never went not one nary time unto the throne of grace and called upon the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have not found out that he is a very present help in the time of trouble. I say thank God for it. I'm glad the Lord is my helper. He'll be your helper too this morning. I mean, you start thinking about it over and over and over in your life. All the times that God, through his marvelous hand, turn with me to Psalms chapter 94. I want to read this verse for you. I want you to notice what the Bible said. In verse 16, he records and says, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?" In verse 7, it said, "Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. And when I said my foot slips, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up." And so we find the psalmist David, and dear God, he's saying, "Who's going to help me? Ain't got no help nowhere around." But I like how he says it in the next verse. He said, "Unless the Lord had been my helper." Well, thank God. Amen. I'm glad he said my foot almost would have slipped. My soul would have been cast off and into utter silence. But thank God, God has not chosen this day and to cast off his people. There is a covenant made that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so as we're in this church this morning, might we stop and lift up our voice as the redeemed of God and say, "Thank you, Lord, for being my helper." I'm glad the Lord's my helper, ain't you? Yeah, man. That I might boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." Turn with me to Psalms chapter number 56. I want you to notice the Bible says here, and I want to give you something the Lord give me, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. But the Bible says in Psalms chapter number 56, and we already read some of this, but the Bible records for us. He says, "Behold, God's my helper. Even whenever I don't need to understand nor to know where I'm going, all I need to know is that he's my helper." Amen. I want you to stop and think about this for a moment. I'm glad that no matter what comes tomorrow, I don't know. There's things we're praying about, and oh my.
There's heavy burdens and folks we're praying about that unless God just shows up. But I'll tell you this. I don't know how tomorrow's going to turn out, nor do I know how it's going to turn out years from now. But if I'm still here, I'll tell you one thing I know. The Lord will still be helping me. Amen. I'm telling you, I remember from the first message, I don't know if everybody ever felt this way, from the first time I ever preached a message, I thought, oh God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But thank God the Lord showed up and helped. And I thought the next time, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say this time. And for the last 18 years, every Sunday and every Wednesday night, I say, oh God, I still yet ain't figured this thing out. I don't know what everybody in our church needs, but I know, oh God, if you'll just help me, I'll do my best. If you'll provide, and thank God. I mean, listen, even as I come here, the only thing I brought to this church was this physical body. And I didn't even bring it under my own power, friend. God supplied the Word. God supplied the Spirit. God supplied the place where we worship at. God supplies the people. God supplies everything. And so we come in and we say, the Lord is my helper. And as I was studying this, the Lord put something in my heart. And dear God, no matter what you're going through or where you're at, these words will work in every situation. As you get ready to come up to something, I want you to recall these words to your mind. For this I have Jesus. Now you can fill in the blank, whatever needs to come after that. But whenever you're going through sickness, you just remind yourself, for this I have Jesus, friend. Whenever you're down and out and you're sorrowing and you're suffering, dear God, just remind yourself, for this you have Jesus. When it comes time, dear God, that man in that cold hand of death begins to grab a hold of our body, just remind yourself one more time, for this I have Jesus. I'm thankful no matter what I can say. When it comes time to preach, when it comes time to pray, when it comes time to witness, when it comes time to suffer, when it comes time for sadness and sorrows, when it comes time for instructing my family, when it comes time for loving my wife, thank God in every situation and in every circumstance, I can look at it and say, for this cause right now, I have the Lord Jesus Christ as my helper. Thank God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm glad, friend. Amen. These times that medicine will fail you. These times, dear God. Amen. Your pastor will fail you. These times you may feel like the church has failed you. But there'll never be a time, friend, that you can ever say in an honest heart that the Lord has failed you. He has always been, will always be faithful and true to the people of God to be our helper. Yep, man. I'm glad he's my helper, aren't you? You ought to say amen right there. Yep, man. I'm glad the Lord's my helper. Let's look on. This verse just keeps getting gooder and gooder as far as I'm concerned. Not only do we find the Lord's our helper, but then we find not only is he a companion, in verse 7 we find consideration. He says, in our character, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, let me just stop right here, amen, and just park for a moment. He is talking about those that have run this course well for an extended amount of time. There's a lot of people today that hitch their wagons to whoever the new preacher or whatever the new thought is that comes around. But that's not what he's talking about. He is talking about, he said, considering their end. In other words, you ought to mark out some people that have ran the whole race well, and you can look in their life and see how many times that they've turned to the Lord. And he said, whenever you look at their life, he said, you follow their example. Follow what they did. In other words, he's not even talking about people that's around us. He's talking about those that have gone on. Yeah, man. Listen, there's a real good one at this church whose faith you ought to be able to follow. Brother Harold Slavin, whose faith went on, be in the presence of Almighty God, stood in this pulpit for 38 years, preached the truth. I never got acquainted with him real well, but every testimony of every person that I've ever came in contact with has said he lived everything that he preached. In other words, that's the kind of man you ought to follow after. Amen. That's the kind of fellow you ought to follow. You know who I think that the Apostle Paul is? He writes these words down. For my understanding and my estimation and for whatever that's worth, and it's not much, I can't find that the Apostle Paul ever saw one saint of God except for just one person die the whole time that he was preaching the Word. Peter's still preaching the Word. John's still preaching the Word. He called them pillars who seemed to be somewhat in the faith. But I can find one man in the Apostle Paul's life who he could look at and say, oh my, I'd like to follow what he did. So let's turn there in the book of Acts, chapter number 7. In the book of Acts, chapter number 7, I want you to notice this. We'll try to be careful to get through what God would have us to do. But in Acts chapter number 7, the Bible says, speaking of Stephen, as he has been brought before the council, as he has getting ready to be tried, to be judged in the state that he is in, instead of backing up off the things that he said, the Bible said that he begins in verse 51 and says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Boy, that's a good way to start a message off. Amen. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Notice he said in verse 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by disposition of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, lift up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. I'd just like to interject before I continue reading. You know what Stephen found out? That God was going to keep his covenant and God was going to be his companion. Hey, listen, friend, I don't understand how it all works whenever stones are flying at your head. But I'll tell you what I do know, somewhere in the midst of all that, and dear God, God let him check out from everything going on around him, gave him a heavenly vision of the Lamb of God, not just sitting on the throne, but standing in attention as he sees him slain. He said, I see the heavens open in verse 56, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. I thought, dear friend, when you find this passage, notice in verse 59, it lets you know that there was one more thing that Stephen was going to say, but it wanted you to know that the Apostle Paul was in earshot of that distance. Bible says in verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, and he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down one last time. I put that one last time in there. Amen. He knelt down and he cried with a loud voice and he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, amen, their stones did not kill him, but the Bible says he fell asleep. God just went ahead. Hey, listen, you mark it down straight and tall. The people of God don't never die like the people of the world do. Amen. Hey, amen. Whenever it comes time to die, I'm not going to go drift off, amen, and lift my eyes up into hell. I've held the hands, friend, of those folks that did not have hope in Christ. And I've also held the hands when they've taken their last dying breath of them saints of God. I've held some hands of some saints before that you maybe could not understand. I had my dear grandmother who had throat cancer to the point she could not make out words. But thank God,
God. She could lift up her hands. Amen. I don't know what song she was a humming, but there's a song down in her heart for the praise of God. I'm telling you, thank God. Amen. When it comes time to die, death's thing's been removed away for the people of God, friend. Amen. God's already conquered that. He took the sting away, rose up victorious. Death is nothing more than to get us from where we're at to where He is. He said, you ought to follow Him. And I believe as the Apostle Paul puts that down right there, I believe he's thinking, I'd sure like to follow in the steps of Stephen. Amen. And before very long, old Nero was going to send out the order. Paul, we want your head. He said, that's all right. Amen. Paul, you know I love it. I love 2 Timothy 4. But one of my favorite parts is he goes through that. Time of my departure's at hand. Fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith, henceforth as crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, should give me at that day, not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. I say, thank God that's me. Amen. But I've always liked the place where he says, he goes down and he begins to talk about everybody that left him. Oh, Demas, he's forsaken me for love of the present world. Alexander the coppersmith, he's done me much evil. He said, nobody stood with me. He said, Lord, all my friends, they all gone. And it's the hour that I need them most. And the Lord said, not everybody. Because he said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Hey, listen, it comes my time to die. If you could gather around and sing Amazing Grace or something, that'd be a real blessing. But if it comes my time to die and there ain't nobody around me, hey, man, I've been cast off. Thank God I've got a Savior friend that'll help me. That'll help me do more for me in that hour than anybody else can. You might can give me words of peace, but I'm thankful, Brother Savage, in those hours he can give me peace. Hey, man, you might can encourage my heart when I'm down low, but I'm glad he can encourage my spirit as only he can. You might give me some things to try to help my mind, but I'm thankful the Lord Jesus Christ is able to take everything that we are and make it. I got to go on to the next verse, but the Bible says in the very next verse, Jesus Christ. I like those next two words. The same. Yep, man. I ain't a serving a God that's different for me than he was for Stephen or Paul or Jeremiah or Isaiah. And that whole list in Hebrews chapter number 11, I ain't a serving a God, a dear friend, that one who did help all of them, and he's not going to help me. Amen. The Bible says he's the same. You know what that word means? It quite literally means he is identical. It's not a variation of Jesus. That means the Lord Jesus Christ has not changed his mind about holiness. He's not changed his mind about mercy. He's not changed his mind about grace. He's not changed his mind, amen, about sanctification. God's not changed. It's the very same Jesus. I want you to look with me in John. I'll just quote it to you. But in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 2 begins, the same. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. Light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. And so we find that the Bible says the same. Amen. He wanted you to know. I know everybody likes to walk around little cute baby Jesus, but that's the same one, dear friend, that was with God. You understand John 1, 1 and 2 precedes Genesis 1. Before God ever created the heaven and the earth, the same was in the beginning with God. I'm serving the same Jesus, friend, who was standing in the midst of nothing and out of nothing, spoke everything just as it is. That same one. Notice what the Bible says. I'm finishing in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I want you to notice what the Word of God says. There's some things here. Oh, it just thrilled my soul, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. But in John chapter number 5,
Bible says in verse number 10, speaking of the man at the pool of Bethesda. In verse number 10, it says, "The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, and it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." Verse 11, he said, "He answered them, He that made me whole, the same." The same. Amen. I'm glad it's the same one that was in the beginning of creation. When I bow my head, I'm serving the same one that was able to cure an impotent man who literally could not move. The same one. Let me ask you this question this morning. Has the Lord lost any power whatsoever? Lord's not like us. Amen. His strength doesn't diminish as the ages roll by. He doesn't lose his memory as time goes by. He doesn't lose his ability as time goes by. It's the same one. Same one that it's always been. Same one that it'll always be. Notice what the Bible says. Let's move through these real quickly. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Bible records for you and I in verse number 48. Matthew 26 verse 48. Speaking of his betrayal. It said, "Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he." Same one in creation. Same one that was cured. Same one that was getting ready to be crucified. The same one. Not a different one. The same one. Amen. When he is about to be crucified, you say, "Preacher, what difference does that make?" When Jesus was about to be crucified, he contained in himself the same power that he had before Genesis to create, to speak, to it to happen, all that he wanted to. Same one. Same one. Wrapped up in a body. I don't understand all that. All I know is it's the same one. Same Lord Jesus. Bible teaches us in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Book of Acts, chapter number 2. Notice what the Word of God says in verse number 36. "Therefore," you can listen, "therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." It's the same one. Hey, listen, the same Jesus sitting on the throne right now as the Lord and Christ is the one the Bible says was the same yesterday, the same one today, and the same one forever, friend. He does not change. It's the same Jesus. And in one last verse, probably those of you Bible readers know what I'm going to read, but in Acts chapter 1, verse number 11. Say, why is that so important, preacher? Acts 1 verse 11, "Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus." I ain't looking for another. "Same Jesus taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." Same one that created, same one that cured, same one that was crucified, same one that was crowned. He'll be the same one that comes again.